What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You can smell the weed in the air already, BT.
Is that a bad thing for
you? No, I mean, well, you know me, I don't, I'm not,
gotcha,
but I've been to plenty of concerts like that before, understand it.
Yeah,
Raekwon, Mobb Deep, you kidding me?
Dude, that's sick, man. I mean, you really, I mean, you think about West Coast rap, right? But you talk about the East Coast rap, and, the, and they were kind of, at least Mobb Deep was, they were kind of pulled into the... The Tupac stuff.
Yeah.
There was diss tracks going back and
forth. I remember
there
Tupac,
was crazy stuff.
Bleep Mobb Deep. I like Mobb Deep.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. So, and I think, was it Prodigy? I forget which one of them said that. Like, they actually loved Tupac, and they never really met him. And they're like, hey, keep dissing us, man. We're about to make some money here. So that's going to be a sick concert.
Oh, looking forward to that one. Raekwon and Mobb Deep, of course. All right, BT and Sal, all the fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We are awaiting the straw man, Daryl Strawberry. We haven't had him on together, so it'll be fun to talk to Straw here for a little bit, obviously about his record going down and seeing what he thinks about Pete Alonso writing that on the baseball there.
You think he knows? What was written?
He's going to find out. I think by now...
I don't think he's very active on social media, so I'm not so sure that he knows.
Somebody... I hope not, honestly. But I would assume somebody had to have gotten it to him or asked him about it. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. I do think it's interesting Hoff was telling us Straw's on the West Coast. So I assume that he was going to be... Not that he's going to be hanging on for every single game to see Alonso break the record. And I know he sent the video in. But I did assume he was going to be at the ceremony the day after. Like, maybe they fly him in that morning, yesterday morning. Now, it turns out it got postponed till tonight.
Yeah.
They're going to have that ceremony for Pete tonight. So, I certainly thought he was going to be there, but apparently not. He's on the West Coast, so.
He's not going?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Maybe there's an issue. Maybe Pete met when he wrote what he wrote on the bull. Maybe he was dissing Straw.
Well, do you think that he has a right if Straw doesn't show up?
No. By the way, I'm saying that in jest. I actually have a good relationship.
I'd say you put yourself in Pete's shoes. You break the record.
Yeah.
You get a nice little video from Straw, but the Straw Man's not there. Okay, and he's going to be joining us here in a second, so we could ask him about that.
I mean, Jeter didn't even go to Old Timers Day, so I'm going to get a Straw Man for flying across the country on a win. No, I got Daryl's back.
Let's ask the man himself right now, joining the program, BT and Sal, Daryl Strawberry. How are you, Straw? We appreciate the few minutes. What's going on?
Straw.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing back there in New York City?
Yeah, we're not bad.
Good.
So first one, before we get to the baseball here, so you're on the West Coast. You're obviously not going to be at this ceremony tonight for Pete. There's no way you could have made that, right?
No way I could have made it. I'm out here for a charity of cancer tonight in California.
Okay, so there you go. And I know you sent the video in and all that stuff. Your record, Straw, was held for 37 years. What is it? Was it a big deal to you when you broke it? Who'd you pass? Kingman, right, in 1988?
Kingman, 1988. I didn't even realize I passed Kingman until somebody told me that. But I was more concerned about performing and staying focused, and I think that's what baseball is all about. I think, let's see, people would talk about the record, talk about how low it is, but you got to remember where this franchise was and what kind of players that had came through this franchise before I got there. There was a lot of players that came through that had success, but did they have great success? Not a whole lot. You couldn't have had a whole lot, being in last place year after year. And had it not been for development, Frank Cashin developing the farm system and developing players like myself, Gooden, all the players that came through, Lenny and all those, Mitchell, all the players that came through that were younger. And then they started to have this movement towards what was important in the organization for younger players to be able to come to the big leagues and be successful.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Ruth or Hank or Willie or some of the other franchises, but you got to start somewhere. That's the whole point, Straw. Like, eventually, we'll see how long Pete is a Met, and that's obviously a very important point of conversation, but, he might wind up with five if he's not here forever. Soto will probably blow by his, and that just continues to elevate. And the number's not going to be 254 forever. Eventually, it's going to be five bills. That's how you get it up there.
That's exactly how it works, and we have to credit these younger players for working hard and getting there. I mean, so many former players look at the players today, and they envy the players because of, salaries? Man, they play baseball just like we did. We don't sit here. I'm not a player to sit here and critique players. I love the players. I encourage the players. do the best you can. Understand the fan base that you have, you play in front of. I think a lot of times people don't recognize the Mets fan base is incredible. They just have suffered for so long. And they're tired of suffering, you know, and they need winners. They need teams coming in there that's competing every year and giving them a chance to win and win. They need to win, regardless of how many numbers Pete gets, Soto get, Lindor get, Nimble get. You need to start winning for this fan base. It is an incredible fan base. I played there for 8 seasons. I know what it's like. I know what it feels like. And everybody's always trying to compare with the Yankees. You don't compare yourself with the Yankees. The Mets have had some players that are franchise players that are doing great things. And as you can see, we're finally Stevie is coming in there, and he's finally recognizing that the players that they have had here turn this franchise around to have a face. And now they have a face of players today that needs to be successful. And we need to pull for them. We need to encourage them. I'm a big part of this franchise. I love the franchise because I'm a homegrown player from the franchise.
And you know, it's amazing. But, of course, Darryl Strawberry with us here. BT and Sal, gracious enough for some time. Obviously, Pete now the all-time Mets home run leader. You're one of the few, and I want to keep this to the Mets, but just as more of a statement. You're one of the few New York baseball players who was loved by both fan bases. I mean, how many other people could say that?
I don't think many can.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm really thankful that I had opportunity to play for the Yankees and play for the Boston and play for Joe Torre and play among all those young players with Jeter and Moe and Sada and all those good players that they developed through that organization that made them great. And that's what, you know, the franchise of the New York Yankees is always going to be an historical franchise because of what they have done for many years and the players that they've had for many years. New York is the greatest place to play. Regardless of what anybody say or think, I know because I had a chance to play on each side and I had a chance to play in other places, but nothing like playing in the passion of New York fans. And when they speak loud. And if you don't listen, I mean, you can't let the noise get to you, but if you can't hear what they're saying about you when you're not playing well, there's something's wrong with you. You don't understand how great it is to play in front of people. So I think that's what I got a chance to experience and love about playing in New York because it's nothing like it. It's nothing like playing under the pressure. It's nothing like being in the spotlight, but you got to perform.
Yeah, and just I'm thinking of it off the top of my head here. I'm pretty sure you're the first position player, homegrown position player, to have his number retired by the Mets. Do you think, Straw, if you chose, for whatever reason, I know the Mets front office, and then you wanted to go to L.A., whatever it may be, if you were a Met, lifelong Met, you think we would have seen 500? How much damage do you think you could have done had you stayed in New York with the Mets for your entire career?
Easily 500, no doubt about it. Had to stay focused. And you know, but I knew the organization was going in a different direction when you start getting rid of all the players that I came up with. It's hard to stay with a group of guys that don't understand winning. And that's what was happening in my later part of my career with them, you know, last couple years. You know, guys started accepting losing. I hated losing because I was used to winning all the time, and I was used to players that had a lot of guts, and that's what it takes to play there. When you get complacent and get comfortable with losing, then that's what it's going to be. And so I didn't really have a feel that the organization was going in the direction of winning and keep winning. That's why I made that decision. Had I known about staying in New York, I probably would have went to the Yankees. I didn't know. If George probably was around, he told me I would have snatched you in the free agent market when you was a free agent. And I could have stayed in New York, but I didn't know. And I ended up going to the West Coast. And with that being said, we moved on from that and just went to the place of the fact that I am a New York Met for the rest of my life. That franchise I played under, I was very successful through the minor league system and the major league system for them and being an everyday player. I'm truly thankful for that.
Yeah, and the reason why I asked that, Straw, is not to say like, oh, regret leaving, but it's not like you went to the Dodgers and hit 30 home runs every year for the next 5-6 years. Obviously, there were some issues going on there, and maybe if you stayed with the Mets, it could have been different, and the production would have followed as well. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, no, I understand that because my production would have stayed at the level it stayed at playing in New York. I was already accustomed to playing in New York. I already know what it was like to play in front of the fan base and run out there and have people scream for you and cheer for you and yell for you and have them tell you when you suck. You know, and I think that's what a lot of players.
Yeah,
I think that's what a lot of players can't deal with today. They can't deal with hearing the fact that you suck. But you do. When you do, it should motivate you to want to win. And I'm thinking with these players today, you know, they have a chance and opportunity. You got a great owner. You got a great owner. So there's no excuses. I mean, he pays well. He'll probably give you everything that you need. There's no reason why you shouldn't want to go out there and dominate and kick butt, you know, against the other team. When I look at the other team across the field, I never wanted to be their friends. I was never wanted to be hugging on nobody, shaking and laughing with them. I came to the ballpark to dominate and whoop your behind. And that's the thought process you have to have, Brandon, in New York, when you have a team there that can. I mean, this Met team is so talented. And everybody's talking about, well, what's wrong? Is it the manager? No, well, they don't have a lot of great pitching. But you know what? You got guys in your offense that needs to learn how to step up and be productive every night. I mean, I'm not saying the same guy has to do it every night. Somebody's got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's got to pick up the slack off of your pitching staff. I mean, we did that every night with the core guys that we had with Hernandez, Carter, myself, McReynolds. When we had those guys in our lineup, we were productive. Somebody would do it to help get us over the hump. And that's what baseball is all about. You're not going to get over the hump, you're not going to win.
Yeah, but Straw, and I get it, you guys did pick him up a lot because you guys put up a lot of runs, but whether it was Ronnie or El Cid, obviously young Dwight, Cody, you mentioned some others, clearly, I mean, those guys were stars. This Mets rotation stinks.
Well, I'm not going to get into all of that about how they, you know, they stink or whatever, you know. I mean, it's tough when you haven't been successful. We have a pitching staff that had been successful coming up underneath us. You know, when you're piecing a pitching staff together every year to try to stay in the race and be in the race, that's hard to do. And you let me say, I credit all of them for what they've done because, you know what, they're still at the top. They still got a chance to win. You know, it'd be different if they was like 15 games out. You know, 5 games out is nothing. You're in August, and it's getting late in August, but you got a whole month of September. All it takes is to get hot at some point. Of each player to get hot and physically start doing what they know how to do and what they're capable of doing. All these guys are capable of doing. They just got to do it, and that's what's happening a lot. It's not being done. You know, you get a run, you get a lead like last night, and six nothing. You got to pour it on. You got to put your foot on their face and make it 9-0.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Love it.
By the way, I'm still laughing. I thought of Strawman. I'm still laughing before when he says he didn't like shaking hands. Hey, he was throwing hands more than he was shaking hands, you know? Maybe we need a little mid-80s fight to get these Mets out of the doldrums here, Straw. Come on.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. They're not in the time that we were in.
Nah.
It was a different time. When we looked across and we looked at the Cardinals, we hated them.
Yeah.
You know, and we know they hated us. And we looked at the Phillies, we hated them. It was just the way it was, and it wasn't gonna be about we're your friends. We're not your friends. We're coming here to step on you, and we're gonna put the pedal on you, and we're gonna burn rubber, and we're gonna leave, and we're gonna get out of here, and we're gonna be smiling when we get out of here. And that's the kind of, you know, personality and attitude that we had as a team.
Good.
And sometimes you have to have that plan in New York that we're the best. You know, we represent New York. When you come in here, you'd be lucky to win one game a Shea. That's just the way we felt about it. If you come in here for a 4-game series, you might get one, you might not get one. But, you know, we were okay that we got three out of four. We weren't going to let teams that was not supposed to beat us come in and dominate against us.
Good God. Talk to me, Straw. Yes, we missed that. All right, we appreciate your time. I got one more before we let you go. So I don't know how many baseballs or photos you've signed over the years, Mets franchise home run king. Have you been asked to sign that over the course of your 37-year record holding there with the Mets?
No, I think because this generation of Mets fans don't really know who I am. They just know from names.
Stop.
What they've been told.
All right. And people, like, to me, it's never a thing. Like, hey, Daryl, can you sign this for me? I remember thinking Mets home run king. So Pete Alonso was asked to sign a baseball, and I don't know if somebody asked him to write something specific. He wrote, Pete Alonso signs at number 20, Mets franchise home run king, down goes Straw. You have an issue with that?
No, I don't have an issue with that. I like I said, I'm a head critique players, and you know they have their right to do whatever they need to do. And if that's the way he feels about it, then you know more power to him. Happy for him. You know he's a good kid. You know he wants to win. He's trying his best to do the best he can with what he have, you know, especially what he's been through, you know, after going through free agent, nobody wanted to talk to him. So you go back and prove yourself. And that's the whole point. I did the same thing in 1990 when I had to prove myself. Nobody wanted to talk about contract. And they say, well, show me. And then it was my walk year, and I hit 37 and drove in 100-something, and there I was. I was off and running.
Yeah, I don't like it for you. Down goes Straw. Come on, man. So how about this, Darryl? Instead of Willie Mays coming here and playing for, what, the final 2 or 3 years, imagine if Willie Mays was a career Met, and you broke his home run mark. You're going to write down goes Willie on the baseball? No way.
I would never do anything like that, you know? And, yeah. You know, like I said before, you know, it's a different time, different generation. I'm not here to judge Pete or any of those guys. You know, I wish them all well. You know, if they ever, you know, really wanted to know how good I was, they would really go to the highlight reel and look at it for real and say, man, this guy was different. You know, he did something special. He just didn't hit home runs. He, you know, played the field, ran bases, you know, won championships, you know, all-star games. He did it all, you know, and did it with a lot of pride of winning. Because at the end of the day, you can have all the records and numbers you want, but if you don't win nothing there, it will not mean the same.
There we go, Straw. That's what we're looking for, baby. How many home runs he in Game 7 of the World Series? How about those rings? Show that bling. You last one, Straw. You have any advice for Pete as far as being a lifelong Met? You think you should value that? Take the money. Where are you at with Pete once he opts out of his contract here?
It's hard to say, you know, with today and with the agents they have in the market, what it is and what they can get. So it's going to be really interesting, again, to see what happens after the season's over, because you know he's going to opt out after this year because he's having a good year. And his agent's probably going to test the market, and he's going to get the highest bid. Whoever bid the highest, you know, for his first baseman, that's where he's going to probably try to send him.
Now, last year, nobody bid except the Mets, pretty much. That was the problem for Pete.
That was the problem last year. He was coming down. He had a down yep. so year, and you know, now you come back and you redeem yourself, and now you have the opportunity mm-hmm. for yourself to put yourself in a better situation and say, okay, I can have all these different teams bid for me. Let's see what the Mets are going to offer me too. So that's part of baseball, man. Today,
Straw, you're the man. We appreciate the time. Still the home run king in my eyes. This 46 year old.
No,
37 years, Darryl. You're the guy. 37 no. years. I was an 8 year old. Come on.
That's over. And, you know, it's a new home run king for the New York Mets, and it's Pete Alonso. And congratulations to him, and all the best to him and his teammates, and as they go forward to bring something special to their fan base.
All class. Thank you, Darryl. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys, you got it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man.
But you got the competitive.
Oh, yeah.
You want to find out what I did?
Classy, took the high road. What I did take away from that is that, first of all, he's in a great place in life. Remember, the first time I met him was at SNY. He was over there a lot back in the day. I met his wife, Tracy. And I remember actually hanging out with them a lot at Michael Kay's wedding, right? And I got to know Darryl a little bit. I got to know Tracy, as my wife did as well. She saved him. I mean, she brought the religion. Like, she basically picked him up and said, you got to have fun, a different path. And all these years later, Darryl's still on that path. So God bless him. Because like Doc, he was hanging by a thread. I love it. Number one. Number two, you know, I also got that it wasn't like he was standing next to him and Pete's like, hey, Darryl, I'm going to write this, man. Down goes Straw. I don't think Strawberry's mad. But it wasn't like they were in cahoots on that. You know,
he said it. I wouldn't do that. He said it flat out. Now, look, Pete's his own person. I guarantee you somebody probably told him to write. I don't think Pete's writing that on his own.
Yeah, but Pete's not 5 years old.
Do you think Pete, because the guy Pete always referenced growing up watching was Piazza.
Okay.
He talks about Piazza's power and watching that. And he might have referenced David Wright as well, but how old is Pete? He's 30?
So Pete's 30, just turned 30.
Okay, so think about that. That's 15 years.
Yeah.
Like for me, as a 45-year-old, and Darryl was our wheelhouse, I know you're a little older, whatever it may be.
I love Darryl.
So that's 15 years of an age difference there that could be pretty significant as it pertains to watching Darryl Strawberry.
Yes.
You think Pete is fully aware of all that Strawberry did and what he was? I'm sure he's heard of him.
No, I don't think that he, and this is not a knock at Pete. I think a lot of modern ball players, it's almost hard for them, for us to expect them to know what we know, what we cherish when they didn't live through it.
He was born in 94.
Yeah, no, like, no, the answer is no. But I would tell you this, here's going to be the answer, which would be yes. You ask any baseball person that you're starting, that watch both of those men play, you want Straw or you want Pete to start a team? Everybody's taking Straw. And I'll say one more thing. I can't prove this, but I don't think anybody's ever looked better in a uniform in the history of baseball than Darryl Strawberry.
Yeah, man.
He had the guns. He was long and fast. He just looked like, oh, my
intimidating
God.
With the stance.
Yeah, the eye black. He had a chain. Like, he had a little swag. But he had the perfect body.
The name
body.
On the back
yes.
of the jersey.
Even that, too. You're right.
Strawberry
you're right.
on that old 86 jersey.
And the pinstripes fit him like a 1980-something Brooks Brothers. Like, just perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
I loved it. I was watching a lot of the old highlights, obviously, with this, looking to see if they had some of the... I couldn't find the one that he broke Kingman's record with because it probably wasn't a big deal back at the time.
Ralph Kiner on the call.
Watching Strawberry hit all those home runs. Oh, man. Great to talk to Straw for a few minutes. All right, we'll get back to your calls here. 888-808-1019.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
He will do better than this past year. And he'll do better than this past year for a few reasons. A, he's having a better year.
Well, I mean, he's doing all right in a single year.
He's doing the contract he ended up getting, though, was a short-term contract.
Right.
I mean, basically, it's a one-year deal because he's going to opt out. But I have a few reasons why he'll do better. Now, is he going to get 5 years like I suggest? Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what the hell he's going to get. And maybe 5 years is too much. But my point is, he will do better than this past year, mm-hmm. and I believe the Mets have a line in the sand like they had this past year. And I'll give you a specific example of a team that, tell me when I'm telling lies, would make perfect sense for Pete Alonso when you look at the differences between them last offseason and this offseason. And one thing I do want to point out, may not be a big deal, but there's no pick attachment to him anymore, which there was this past year. That's gone.
Right.
Okay? One team that would go after him would be the New York Yankees.
Really?
Yeah. Could they use a right-handed slugger in the middle of that heavy left-handed lineup? Ooh. Could they use a first baseman with Goldschmidt probably gone and Ben Rice maybe transitioning to becoming a catcher? Like, I don't think it's crazy. And we got to get out of our mind Alonso's a DH. If you watch the guy play, all he does is get better defensively at first base every year.
It's the wrong fit. It's the wrong fit. Aaron Judge may not be able to throw a ball right now. You're not going to lock up a first baseman long term and lose that flexibility.
Well, they don't have a first baseman right now.
Oh, Cody Bellinger is likely.
And that's the other thing. Like, they're going to have Spencer Jones, Jason Dominguez. If they sign Bellinger, is he not playing first base?
If they sign Cody Bellinger. There's no guarantee they will.
So well, why would Cody Bellinger not want to stay here?
Is Pete it's all about money, bro. You should know better than anybody as a professional, though you were willing to stay with the Giants for whatever, right?
If the Yankees pay Pete Alonso more money than the Mets are willing to pay him at whatever more years, figure that out, and not pay whatever Bellinger's going to break the bank for, that is malpractice like we've never seen from Brian Cashman.
I agreed. Because Pete should make significantly more.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very confused by his point
Pete,
then.
So why would you pay Pete when you can pay Bellinger less?
Well, you just said Bellinger, but you said Pete's a lot better than Cody Bellinger. Didn't you just say that? I missed that.
Yes.
Okay, so then why wouldn't you want the better player?
Because Bellinger is very damn good.
Yes.
And a lot cheaper.
You don't know that. He's coming off a good year, too. You don't know what the market's going to show for a guy that can play the outfield at a high level and also first base. My point to you isn't to argue Pete to the Yankees. It's to remind you that I think you're wrong to assume his market's going to be dry this offseason. It won't be.
Okay.
Just because it was dry last offseason won't make it dry this offseason. And here's what I really, really believe. And I don't know. I haven't talked to Steve Cohen about this. I believe they're going to be hard asses again. They were hard asses this offseason. I supported them on that because there was no market for Pete. So why would you negotiate against yourself like you said? But if there is a more robust market for Alonso, I think they're still going to have their line of, well, we're not going more than this or that. And that's why the emotion of last night, which was great, I loved it. Don't get sucked into thinking that's going to make a difference when it comes to Cohen and Stearns. It won't. They're businessmen, and they're good businessmen.
I think a big part of last year was the agent with Pete Alonso.
Well, it's the same agent, Teak.
Of course it is. But Pete Alonso is the ultimate boss. The player is the boss.
Are you saying he's the final boss?
The final say. The final boss is Pete Alonso. And I can't. It's different. Football is so different, but there is a value with being a star and a legendary star in New York, and especially if the money is right, if the trajectory of the team is right. Why would you go mess that up and try to do it someplace else?
If you're Pete, I think Pete wants to stay, but like most athletes,
if he wants to stay, then he should tell his agent to make it happen.
Yeah, I think he'd like to do that if the offers are close, kind of like Aaron Judge. But if the Yankees never up their offer when they were trying to bring him back, he was going to be gone. There's always that number that forces a player to leave. Let's get to some of your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's kick it off with Paul in Yonkers. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. Steve Cohen, he brings in Lindor. He brings in Soto. He had a $500 million contract for Vlad of the Blue Jays. That's why he was letting Pete go. He didn't need him. He was all set to bring in the new guy. That's what Steve Cohen does. So, yeah. But when he was shocked that he signed with Toronto, now he's got Pete on a one-year contract. Uh-oh, what does he do now?
Explain that one to me again.
I know, I'm kind of confused.
I love the pass. I'm going to give you a reprieve.
Right, yeah, say that again. Like, what are you saying,
yeah,
Paul?
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm saying is he signs the highway. He leaves the general manager with all the little guys. So the fans yell at the general manager, and Steve Cohen says, look, I gave you Soto. I was bringing in Vlad. I don't know why he went back to the Blue Jays, but that's why he was dumping on Pete last year.
Oh,
he
gotcha.
Didn't need him.
So you're saying that Cohen and Stearns had an eye on Vlad. Now that Vlad is staying in Toronto, they'll have more of a need to bring back Pete Alonso. Was that his point?
Yeah, I think so. Because like what it said on the screen was Steve Cohen wants the shiny new toy.
Mm.
The shiny new toy potentially last year was Vlad Jr., but there is no shiny new toy for Steve Cohen this year.
Well,
like who would it be?
As a free agent?
Free agent, first baseman, or what? Who is it?
So not a first baseman, but I think two of the other sluggers that could potentially replace Pete's power in the lineup would be Kyle Schwarber and Kyle Tucker. Now, where you insert those guys, Schwarber's more of a DH.
Yep.
Tucker's playing the outfield. You're probably moving a Brandon Nimmo or a Juan Soto to first base or something like that.
Dude, you already have lineup issues with redundancies all over the damn place with your young prospects. Or young, not even young prospects, because they're in the majors now, but young players.
No, I'm just telling you the shiny toys.
Why would you do that again?
I'm not saying you should. Evan, I'm telling you those are the shiny toys.
I think the shiny toys is where David Stearns isn't right now.
Oh, Murakami. That's a good point. Yes, yes.
And take with we assume he's going to the Dodgers thing. I'm just saying, for them...
No, he's definitely going to the Dodgers.
Okay, right, but for the Mets...
Don't put me on the Ohtani thing again.
The shiny new object...
And Yamamoto and everybody else that comes from Japan.
The shiny new object also makes the Mets kind of a global type of team.
But keep this in mind about...
Have that in mind.
But keep this in mind about Munetaka Murakami. And you're right. He should be included in this shiny new toy thing. Number one, no matter who you are coming over from Japan, you are unproven. So we don't know
it's a different game.
It's different, and we don't know. Some guys translate, some guys don't. He's also missed a big part of this season with injuries. He's also a guy that could be their third baseman next year, could be their first baseman, could be an outfielder, could be a DH. So he is not just a first baseman. But you're right, he could be the shiny toy. I always think, and I thought this last year, and I'm probably going to think it this offseason, forget the emotion, forget the kind of tie we have to Pete. I think what makes the Mets the best team is having Pete back. I felt that way last year. Mm-hmm. I was right. I think anyone who argued with me was wrong, quite frankly. Now, we could quibble on the contract. Maybe I was wanting to go further than others. But there is no doubt that the Mets needed Pete Alonso back. And that's been clear all season long. Where would they be if he wasn't back?
Right. We talked about it yesterday. If he hadn't had that start when everybody else was anemic, I guess Lindor was fine too. But where are they? I mean, they're 10 games under 500 now.
No, they'd be in a darker place.
Right.
So I think they're going to need him, and I think he's going to be the guy that makes them better. I just think that until proven otherwise, the Mets are going to treat Pete Alonso not as someone special that they have to bring back at all costs, but as a piece of meat they have a value on. And if someone exceeds that value, I think he's gone. And I think it's very easy on a night like last night, which was great. I loved being there. I was so happy to be there. I love Pete. But it's easy to get sucked into the emotion and think that this world is different than the actual world we live in, which is that David Stearns and Steve Cohen are going to only pay what they think he's worth. Bottom line.
Unless the Yankees get involved, you can't, for public perception, allow Pete Alonso to go to the Yankees. I think that's where they'll step in and go, we can't have Evan.
Maybe. I don't know. We haven't seen it yet. I don't think they signed Soto because he was a Yankee. I think they signed him because he's generational.
Well, that's different. Soto was on the Yankees for 1 year. I don't think it matters where Soto played last year. The Mets were going
to
go after
him. If it was up to David Stearns, you're wrong. If it's up to Steve Cohen and somehow there's a Yankee-Met thing, maybe you're right. But we haven't seen
it yet. I know we've had this discussion, but isn't everything up to Steve Cohen ultimately, especially when you're talking about a guy who spent his entire career with the Mets? That's not a Steve Cohen in his file box more than a David Stearns? With the Yankees involved?
I'll ask you again.
Yeah, that decision probably goes above the numbers.
I'll ask you again. Why did they not come close on DeGrom? You thought the Met fans loved him. They didn't love him until they decided to create reasons to dislike him.
Oh, I thought...
So why didn't Cohen step in then?
I think it was exactly what the caller just brought up earlier. I think Steve Cohen wanted to go out to dinner with Kate Upton and Justin Verlander, and he wanted a shiny new toy. Maybe he feels that way with Alonso, but you learn things as an owner. Like, you saw what David Wright Day meant. Maybe in the new ownership, he wanted a shiny new toy. I really believe that. He wanted Scherzer. He wanted Verlander. And Jake was, he was like Woody, and they were like Buzz Lightyear. You know what I mean? He wanted the new toy.
I got you. Let's go to Ken in Manhattan. What's up, Ken?
Yes, first of all, I want to say I really love the way you guys have so much passion and movie as well. Now, this scenario with Pete Alonso is tied a little bit to Juan Soto. Let me quickly explain this. Pete Alonso bet on himself, 2 years ago when they offered him a 4-year, $180 million deal?
Right.
He bet against himself, right?
Right.
So
bet on himself.
Right. Juan Soto, when he was with the Nationals, turned down, if my memory serves me, a 15-year, $454 million contract.
Yeah.
He bet against himself that he could get more.
Yeah.
The difference is he's a generational player. Pete Alonso is not a generational player. He's 26 years old. Pete is 30. And I think Pete made a mistake. And I agree with everything that you were saying, Evan, when it comes to the Mets. It's all about the dollars and cents. I don't think, even though that Steve Cohen is a fantastic owner, I don't think in the end that he cares about he cares about what fans think, but he's writing the check. And he knows right now, in the back of my mind, it's an allegation. There's no evidence to this. He spent $765 million on Juan Soto. Year one. Is he getting his money's worth? What is he batting? .251 with an on-base percentage?
But Ken, you know why he may be getting his money's worth on Juan Soto? We can look at his season and dissect it.
Right.
Citi Field is, as the great Gorilla Monsoon used to say, Citi Field is a happening every night.
Right. And we know that in Major League Baseball, that matters.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
So
not like football, as we've talked about multiple times. They don't care if you go to the games in the NFL.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Last night, you can make what you will of the actual record as it pertains to, you know, where it ranks in sports lore. To me, it's not that big of a deal when you talk about a franchise that is, it's what, the third lowest total in the big leagues. But it's going to get better, assuming Alonso stays here long term, and that's kind of the point of the conversation. It was still important for a record that's held for 37 years, whether I thought it was a big deal or you didn't, whatever it may be. Fans got into it last night. Obviously, it meant something to the franchise and to Pete Alonso. And just after watching it and thinking about it a little bit more and thinking how impactful, like, all I knew as a kid was Daryl Strawberry was the Mets' all-time home run leader. Never gave it much thought, but that record held forever. Now Alonso has it, and the year that he breaks it, they're going to let him walk? Really? To a fan base that was in love with this guy last year, even after a bad year, just one good postseason?
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time thinking that King Cohen's going to let that happen.
Well, the season's not over today. You know, like if the Mets get to the World Series, if they win, if Pete plays well, if they, you know, last night aside... If last night proves to be a bit of an aberration down the stretch and they stumble and they either, you know, barely get in the wild card and get bounced early or don't even make the playoffs. I mean, there's still so many different scripts that can occur pertaining to the team and obviously indirectly Pete a big part of that. So I don't know that we need to have some definitive take today on what Cohen's going to, even though it's interesting, I like doing it. I just think it's almost hard to do because it's those conflicting feelings with the sentimentality and the logic. And the baseball logic, as I've always said, tells me that the Mets should not re-sign him for long term. I've always said that. And I'll stand by it.
And maybe that's where there's a disagreement here, because this was a big year, for at least from my perspective. All right, you had a down year. Let's see what you could do now this season. And he's backed it up. Do you think that there's a question about what type of performance you're going to get from Pete Alonso? Like, if you look at every single year he's played, the power is there every single year. The average may fluctuate, and that's part of my issue. You go from 271 to 217 to 240. Like, those are issues. So you can't hit 217. Yeah, that's great. You hit 46 and 118. 217 is not what made Pete Alonso special. He should be sitting around 250. This year, 267. Maybe he ends up at 250. Maybe it's higher. Who knows? But I think you could pencil him in for 30-plus home runs, 90-plus RBI, mm-hmm. and probably a 250 or better batting average at least the majority of the season. That's what he's done since 2019.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not really pushing back that much on that. One of the things that you and I, and we've pretty much been lockstep in, you know, Pete's,
yeah.
or the Mets, what the Mets' commitment should be to Pete moving forward, certainly before last night and even coming into the season. We've agreed upon that. Now, what we both said, it would be a lot easier equation if he didn't suddenly morph into a 217 hitter for a couple of years. Right. Like, that was like, whoa. All right, I really thought I knew who you were, even if you're not going to hit 53 home runs again in a season, which right. you probably won't, I wouldn't think. You don't need to be that guy. But, you know, just go 35, 38, 40, 41, 110 ribbies, bat 245, 250, 252, and you know, catch the ball at first base. When throwing the ball is different, but right. catch it. That's who I thought that Pete was. And then 2 years, I'm like, oh. Now, he has stabilized that. He's shifted the narrative that he is just a decaying asset as a hitter in terms of average.
Right.
So that's maybe quelled some fear, and very well might have. But for me, you know, again, I think it's just going to be Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. Same song and dance this winter. Nobody's knocking down his door outside of the Mets with a massive contract. It's not happening. No one's doing it. So if nobody's going to do it, why would the Mets do it? It's bad business.
Yeah, I understand that point. But it's also bad business to upset the fans. And the customers.
Yeah, but I agree, but if you're winning, the fans will, yeah. I don't want to say they'll forget about Pete. I don't mean it quite like that, but, you know, if they were to, I know Stearns is in Japan right now, I guess following yeah. some Japanese stud third baseman, lefty masher, whatever. Like, you bring him over and you do some other stuff, and the Mets are a 97-win team next year, and they look like they could win the World Series. I'm not saying that Pete wouldn't be missed. He would be, but it wouldn't be DEFCON 5 where there's 13,000 people there, and they're resisting the Mets. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't think the Mets could win without Pete Alonso. I think that they could. I have a hard time at this point. I was fine with the DeGrom situation. I thought that they did the smart thing there. I think it's different with Pete Alonso, even based on the last offseason coming off of a down year. Now, oh man, I have a hard time believing that they're going to let him go. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Let's hear from you guys. Brian is calling from Spring Lake. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
What's
up? Hey, BT, I'm with you, BT. I'm a lifelong Mets fan. Unless they win the pennant, and he opts out, and he's going to, I have to let him go. And just a quick sidebar on that, I think that's why the Mets were hesitant to part with some of those young guys. Because I know, Sal, you said it last year when Pete was going through it, and we were done with them. Vientos to first next year, maybe Beatty. I prefer him there because I want to lock up the corners with a better defensive first baseman and allocate that money somewhere.
Well, Vientos isn't good defensively at first base either, so he's not the answer. We all know that.
He's not, like Pete. That's why I would go with Beatty. That's why I'd go with Beatty. I mean, I think you could go from third to first a little bit easier. And I like Beatty. I mean, I don't know. He's not going to be 30-90 like Pete's going to be, but I just want to use that money.
30-90? You'd be lucky to get 13-30 from Beatty.
He might get 20 this year, Beatty.
I'm saying 30-90 for Pete's numbers. But I'm saying we've seen the best of Pete Alonso. You have to agree. We've seen the best of him.
Yeah, I don't think
we haven't gotten anywhere.
Yeah, no, good call, Brian. Well, I mean, you almost got to the World Series a year ago, and
yeah.
I mean, Pete had a lot of ribbies. Some other stuff was, I mean, some of the other stats were down. But see, one thing that I've always said, and it's such a basic thing, and it was very confounding. Well, actually, it wasn't because I understand this part. The emotion was getting in the way from the Met fans who were pushing this back, and I respected it, and I understood it, right? But it would still frustrate me. Like, my take has always been, I think you could find a better way to build a team without Pete. That's not to diminish from last night. Those are two separate conversations, right? And Met fans would almost always scream at me, Where are you getting 35, 110? Where are you, I got you. You're not getting another first baseman that's going to bang 40 home runs like Pete. My thought was you could always build out a better baseball team by dispersing that money in different parts of the field and ultimately become a better team. A little quicker, a little bit better defensively, higher average, whatever.
Yeah, my issue would be that if you took Pete off of this, if you told me in the offseason, after all the moves the Mets made prior to Pete coming back, that the Alonso was going to go somewhere else, I'd still look at their lineup and say, well, they got Soto, they're going to be fine offensively. However, you watch it play out this year, if they didn't have Alonso, they'd be dead in the water right now.
Yes. Yeah, they would.
Dead in the water.
Yep.
You're talking about how it's awful or they're wretched. Bull crap. They're a playoff team. Still one with a chance to win the division. If they didn't have Pete Alonso, they would be a dead team walking because Vientos was not what we thought he was going to be.
Yep.
Because Lindor has fallen off the face the last couple of months. Because Soto hasn't been what he was supposed to be.
Nemo, before last night.
Yeah, well, yeah. Even so, right. So Pete's the only one who's doing what he's supposed to do and maybe exceeding the expectations.
That's pretty true, actually. That statement's true. I can't push back on that.
So now if we fast forward to next year, yeah, okay, you could always build it. There's not one singular player. Like, it's not coincidence that a lot of these teams lose star players. And Nats lose Bryce Harper, they go out there and win the World Series.
True.
Like, it happens all the time. Teams lose star players, and they become better. It doesn't mean that I would get in that
habit. The Red Sox traded Devers. Yeah, they're in front of the Yankees in the standings.
Well, that was a thought. Oh, they're giving up on Devers. They're going to go the wrong way. No, they got better without Rafael Devers. So you can see that being the case. However, I just don't think that it would be, A, good business from a fan standpoint to let him go. B, it would be a little bit more difficult to replace him than you think.
Yeah, there's
especially without Vientos or Vlad Guerrero Jr. being the possibility.
Sal, I'm with you. Like a lot of the things that you're saying, even though I disagree at the end of the conversation, most of these checkpoints, I'm like, yeah, I understand what you mean. I do think one factor is important here. Like if this was year one of Stearns, or you know, if it was year one, rather than going into year three next year, I wonder how much more influence Stearns will have against Cohen, because I do think that you structure this properly when you say the sentiment will come and the willingness to cut the check will come favorably from Cohen.
Yes.
And no doubt, I'm with you. And the baseball resistance, pragmatically,
right,
will likely come from Stearns. Now, if Stearns just got here, I don't think Stearns has much of a voice, but if the Mets have another good season, they go deep in the playoffs, that's two for two for Stearns. And I just think that Stearns has a little more juice when he sits down, even though Cohen wouldn't like it, and I can't prove this, I don't know. I do think that Cohen would likely acquiesce to his baseball man because he's done what he's supposed to do since the minute he got here.
If he does that, totally relinquish any kind of control or say, then I do believe Alonso's going to be playing elsewhere. I don't believe he's going to do that. I think that he had his input this past offseason. Cohen was there. You could see the frustration from him at Amazing Day.
Yeah.
And then since then, it was like, maybe we should get back into, let's just get something done here. Like, enough. I don't want to deal with the blowback and negativity. You want this? Here you go. And by the way, it's not just like, you want this and this stinks, here you go. It's, you want this, and he's been productive, and he proved himself this year. He is our franchise, homegrown, home run king. There's some value in that, even down the road, if you project that Pete will age poorly. There's some value.
There is value there, not 5 or 6 years. That's my pushback.
Ray is calling from Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Ray.
Hi, guys. Great show as usual. Sal, you nailed it. Where would they be without Pete right now? They'd be right where Atlanta is, under 500. He's going to drive in 120 runs easily this year. He's right up there, right behind the leader. And he's hitting 265. Those are good numbers for a power hitter. I'm not saying he's going to stay at 265, but he's having a real good year, guys, you know?
Well,
I think they give him 5 years.
The question would be, Ray, and thank you for the call. We appreciate it. The question would be, do you believe forget the emotional part of it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that Pete's production from this year is somewhat sustainable for the next, let's say, 5 years, through the age 35?
I don't know about the batting average. The power, that's an easy one.
Okay, so if the power...
No question, power.
If that's your floor, the power... You know what bothers me the most about Pete? The defense. I don't want him to be the first baseman. I've been saying that consistently. I'd sign him to be the DH for the next 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want... Now, I understand that you don't want to have a logjam there, but he could play a little first if you need to. I would want a better defensive first baseman to be out there every single day.
No question.
And then you live with the power being the floor, where you're going to get minimum 25 home runs, probably more than that. He's got 28 this year. All right, so the batting average, what do you think he's going to hit? Is he going to hit? I guess that's the question. Like,
I don't know.
I know, but there's more. Now we're talking about from 2019 through 2020. What year is this? 2025. There's more good, a lot more good than bad. Those last two seasons of inconsistency, one that he hit 217, the other that he hit 240, but had a little dip in the power numbers as far as 34 home runs, 88 ribbies last year.
For sure,
those are more the outliers. And even those, like, think about it. A bad year for somebody who hits 34 home runs, you take that more often than not.
Can you make a case? And I think that you can, although I can't, you know, quantify this yet because it's only three quarters of a season, but maybe that Soto effect is, you know, trickling down to Pete. You know, a little bit of a different approach. And I know he tweaked his approach. Listen, I think the home run off Devin Williams last year obviously jolted his confidence and the Met fans' confidence in him, like the recommitment to Pete. But I also think it reinforced, and we talked about this coming into the season, his approach. He was getting too pull happy.
Yeah.
He just was. And, you know, by letting the ball travel deep and by hitting the ball the other way again, it has made him less vulnerable to strikeouts and empty at bats. And when that happens, your batting average is in a manageable spot. Is in a manageable spot, which for a slugger in 2025, dude, if you told me he was going to hit 260 something for the next 5 years, I'd give him five. I even though I don't love the wheels and the defense, I know he could pick it. You know what I mean?
You're the
whole
for
thing.
The power.
But it's to me, it's not spending money perfectly. It's not completely cavalier. But I think that you can spend money better.
Think about it this way, and I'm not trying to bring the Yankees into the conversation, but it does pertain because they had a hole at first base that they filled via free agency with Paul Goldschmidt.
Yep.
And the thought, whether it's Christian Walker, who you wanted, and he got a lot more money, obviously, with Houston. Goldschmidt.
And he's not having a great season either.
That's what I'm saying. Walker's not having a good year.
No.
And they paid, what, 3 for $60, something like that, whatever.
It was 3 or 6, exactly what it was.
And then Goldschmidt got 15, roughly.
12.5.
Okay, whatever. Would you rather light the $12 million on fire with Goldschmidt or the 60? And I'm not trying to disparage him. But
No, he's been an ice cold for a while, Goldschmidt.
He's been a non-factor. Now, better than Rizzo, but a non-factor. Uh-huh. So would you rather be in a spot, because that's what Stearns would do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no clear first baseman out there to go say, okay, well, we're going to sign Vlad to a monster deal and trust his production. It would be trying to patch it together. All right, we'll get good value with Goldschmidt for a year for $12 million. Or double that and pay the $30 million to have your homegrown guy that you know at worst you're going to hit 25, 30 home runs.
That's too easy because my answer would side with the way you frame it. So I'm going to actually throw you a little curveball here and make you think about this because rather than this like nebulous term like, oh, get a better fielding first baseman, I've actually got somebody for you. Would the Mets, forget about emotion, and that's hard, not for you, but for the fans, forget that. Would the Mets be a better baseball team right now if Bellinger was your first baseman or Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bellinger's a better ball
player. Exactly.
But I would rather have Bellinger in the outfield.
I get that.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is,
I'd rather have Bellinger than Nimmo and Lefty.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I think you're wasting Bellinger's skill set at first. He's fine at first.
But he's going to age gracefully, more gracefully than Pete, and he's a better fielder than Pete, and he's a better runner than Pete.
Yeah, well, right now, if you're asking me what I'd rather have my team, so
that's what I'm saying. So there are other options, like if
Bellinger does hit free agency, like, which
he's
going to
opt out 100%.
I know,
I think he stays with the Yankees.
Yeah,
I'm saying somebody like a Bellinger, 280, 25 bombs, 15 steals, elite defense.
But he's been inconsistent, too. But the floor with Bellinger is his versatility and his elite defense. The floor with Pete, the non-negotiable floor that you know you're getting, is the power.
Yeah. Well, that comes down to the age. Remember when you and I got into the Tucker Soto stuff?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I said, like, hey, if Juan Soto goes 0 for 4, by the way, Juan Soto took a horrendous route on a double off Olsen in the first inning. You got to make that play. Not to sideswipe the conversation, but that's a play that you got to make. And to me, if Soto's 0 for 4, even though he walks, I get that, he's not doing much to contribute to the bottom line. And for the most part, same with Pete. And I know he is very good picking the baseball. That's a stat.
Yeah.
We're not making it up. He scoops, man. Pete's got good hands when it's in the dirt. I acknowledge that. I know. But if Pete's 0 for 4, not bringing a ton to the table. If Bellinger's 0 for 4 or if Tucker's 0 for 4, that's the more well-rounded player that I value myself. But again, that's stripping away the emotion, which is what makes this conversation very hard.
So your favorite baseball player of all time
Darryl
is?
Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl Strawberry.
Don't even think about it.
Right. Don't even think about
no.
it.
No. So Pete Alonso breaks Daryl Strawberry's record. He gets the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He writes a bunch of stuff on the baseball. Signs a baseball. Says Pete Alonso, 20, home run number 263. Mets franchise home run king. There's three other words on this baseball. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
Is it? No, I don't know.
So I'll say this again.
It's LFG?
No. So it's Pete Alonso, 20. Home run, number 263. Mets franchise.
This is 253?
Oh, sorry. My apologies.
That's 253. Right.
Mets franchise home run king. Three more words with an exclamation point at the end of it.
Oh, I didn't see this. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way to do it. One of those words is straw. The last word is straw.
I beat straw?
Yeah. Worse than that.
Worse than that. Well, there's nothing that... That's fine. I mean, he did beat them. I don't know.
Down goes straw.
Oh. That's all right.
Yeah,
I thought you'd get mad. No. You know why I don't get mad? Because Darryl hit 252 home runs for the Mets. It should have been 400, and he'd be the first person to tell you that. And his career was good, should have been Hall of Fame-like. He'll be the first one to tell you that. So, no, that doesn't bother. I like Pete. I actually think he's been a fun Met, as you know. He's been a great Met. He's goofy. He's productive. It's all those things. He loves the fans. He loves playing at Citi Field. No, I actually have no issue with that at all. Daryl Strawberry, for me, going back to my, and I don't know what it was about him. You know, you have these types of players that, you know, for you, it's someone else. For Fleegs, it's someone else. For me, it was him. When he was up, I would stop what I was doing, and I wanted to watch him hit. And I remember going to games. I would not miss an at-bat watching on TV. Even when he was with the I told this story too to you. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I think I did. When he was with the Giants for a very brief period, the Giants were playing in Philadelphia. And I grabbed my stupid transistor radio to get the Philadelphia. It was through static, but I heard it to hear his at-bats. Like, yeah. I don't know why, I loved the guy as a player. Read his book, learned about his time at Crenshaw High School and his upbringing and the when he was drafted in Tidewater. And I just loved the guy. But no, that does not bother me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's incredibly stupid to put that on the ball. That's what I think. I don't think that it's totally disrespectful or horrible or people should be angry about it. I just think it's really stupid and unnecessary.
Oh, it's unnecessary.
Like, it's just, but it's dumb. There's no reason for it at all. And also, you're talking about like a franchise record, so it's all the fans of that team are also fans of Daryl Strawberry when he was a Met and doing amazing things. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you imagine Mark McGwire, like, forget about the steroids for a second. Imagine Mark McGwire signing his home run ball, and it's saying, down goes Raj, when he broke the record, or Barry Bonds, down goes Hank.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, no, but that's him. But you know why? It's him. He's a goofball, and that's silly. It's actually got Pete Alonso written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a goofball, but I guess he's like a big dumb animal, you know?
I kind of what he like is. A big teddy bear. That's kind of what he is. You know, he goes out there, he hits home runs. But that's, whatever.
I mean, I'm telling you right now because do you think there's more Met fans now that remember David Wright than remember Daryl Strawberry? Yes. Were you at that point?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, because Daryl, you got to think, I mean, he had the Dodgers, the Giants, the Yankees at the end. Got to go back. You're going back to the mid to late 80s for his time with the Mets in 1990. Like, that was it. So if that's the, was it 89 his last year? I forget whatever when he went to the Dodgers. But we're talking 35 years ago now.
Right. So you could put it this way. Like, every Met fan alive probably knows David Wright in 2025.
Sure. Not every Met fan alive knows Daryl Strawberry in the 80s.
So let's say he broke David Wright's home. Like, David Wright had the record. And I know he passed David Wright in this whole thing. But had the record and wrote, down goes Captain Wright or down goes David. People, there'd be a lot of pissed off Met fans.
Maybe.
No, not maybe. After they honored him this year?
The reason why...
Retired his number, down goes Dave?
The reason why, to me, it's not that big a deal is because of his personality. Like, that's just him. Now, if it was... Let's say it was Jeff McNeil. Who's kind of, you know, crotchety and, you know...
The word popped right in my head, I'm not allowed to say.
Right, but he's got, like, that attitude about him. He doesn't have that light-hearted personality and face and goofball-like figure. It's a little different.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how about this? Let's say it was Juan Soto.
No, you can't do that.
Not yet. But I'm just saying, if it was, like, you know, years down the line, down goes Pete.
Well, it depends on how does he get there. Have they won along the way? Has Soto ingratiated himself to the Met fan? Is Pete still here? Is Pete in the last, you know, next 5 years, is he playing in Cincinnati or San Francisco? I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to make a bigger deal out of it than it is. It's not something I'm trying to do. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but I just think it's unnecessary and stupid. It's just a dumb thing for him to do.
At the end of the day, Daryl Strawberry is still a World Series champion with the Mets. Pete Alonso is not.
Bingo. That's
and,
right.
And that will never be forgotten. I mean, that's why the 86 Mets keep coming around, because it's been a long time since this new Met group of the last 40 years has done what they've been to the World Series. They ain't won the World Series.
Yeah, I wonder if this team figures it out and, you know, Pete Alonso catches the final out of the Mets winning the World Series in 2025, that he'd get that ball and write on it, we're better than the 86 Mets. Down goes the 86 Mets.
You got to win two.
Yeah, you think
you can't
write
do that. You got to win two.
Yeah.
No way. That's why the 94 Rangers will live on forever. As years go on and the Rangers continue to not win the Stanley Cup, we will continue to see Mark Messier and Brian Leach and Mike Richter, the same way, you know, you think about the Yankees, long time since they've won now. That's why Bernie and Mariano, they keep coming around because ain't no one won since.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. 09 they won, but you get my point. It's a long time since they've won, too.
Down goes Straw. An idiot.
Yeah, well.
It's just so stupid.
I agree.
I mean, and I always will have a soft spot for Pete Alonso. Every Met fan will. But that's just stupid.
No, it's goofy. I get it.
How do you feel about that, Fleeks?
I'm bothered, and I have no recollection of Daryl Strawberry ever playing for the Mets.
What is it? Why does it bother you? What regard?
Because why put, like, it seems like this is supposed to be a truly positive moment. Every Mets fan is happy. This is a record we wanted a homegrown guy to beat forever. Just don't mention, like, it's not like there were three lines and he had to fill in the blanks and he couldn't think of something on the spot.
Yeah.
Just don't write anything else. 253.
I get it. To me, if it was anybody but him, it would probably be more bothersome. That's
like,
just
I love
him.
Pete. I was wearing the jersey here yesterday. Like, Pete's one of my favorite Mets ever. It's just, there's no reason to add that to this moment.
I don't think it's that big a deal. And then no one loves Daryl Strawberry more than me. I just don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah. And it just feels so Mets, like there's always one little tiny thing tarnishing anything good.
Well, I'll tell you what also compounds this is that they've lost 12 out of 14
Correct.
Games.
Correct. Absolutely.
And they're free-falling.
Yeah, and they have been for 2 months. I mean, it's longer than the 12 out of 14. It's 2 months. Aside from the thing about this, what is their winning streak if you take that? What is their record if you take out that 7-game winning streak over the last
probably
month?
Horrible.
Oh, God, brutal.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess that's really where it would come from. Is like, this is one of the few moments we've had in the last 6 weeks or a month that we've really enjoyed, and you have to write something dumb on the ball like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Whatever. I mean, it could have been worse, you know.
It could have been a lot worse.
Could have made, like, wrote a political statement on there or something.
And
you know?
He didn't. He did a very Pete-like thing, that's all.
Yeah, let's go to Jimmy in Manalapan. What's going on, Jimmy?
He could have made it even worse by saying, suck it, Straw. A little play on words.
Now that would have bothered, all jokes aside, now that would have bothered me. Down goes Straw. He beat him. Suck it, Straw. Yeah. That would be a problem for me.
Up yours.
And disrespectful.
Up yours, Daryl.
You're right. Now you're hitting on something.
Well, gee, how about if you break Imus's record for years doing mornings at the Fan?
I mean, I would never write down goes Imus. Like, listen, I make fun of Mike and Chris and Joe and Steve and all these guys that I grew up with, and make fun meaning, like, you know, I'll do their voices or mimic them, whatever. But One thing I realize is I'm not sitting here without their success. Like that, like, no matter how much I do a Mad Dog voice or a Mike voice or whatever, I fully under. And that's one thing that I think Mike didn't understand about me was the fact that, like, I don't know if it was coming out of the Craig thing where they were battling, but, like, I was just doing the voice like I do everybody's voice. Like, I'm doing a Charles Barkley voice or a Joe voice or a Evan going, bah, 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 bah. I'm just doing a voice.
Todd Bowles,
but
Mike
I've
Tomlin.
Always, like, I've always respected Todd. Right, I mean, you can go on at Eddie.
Yeah.
God, on and on and on. But, like, I've always respected the people that have come before me. I wouldn't have a job doing what I love without those guys setting the foundation for this. So I wouldn't write something like that. I mean,
I think Boomer is next year will
he might be
tie him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy to really think about.
And you've got a shot.
If radio is still here.
Yes, that's true.
Some way, shape, or form.
And you'll be long retired.
Yes.
Congrats. What was your name again? They say we work together.
He won't forget you.
I don't remember. Keith is in.
The vibes are good. They're up 3-1 as we're watching the highlight right now. And Pete Alonso with an opposite field laser over the right center field fence to make it 5-1. And you could just sense, like, the crowd. We had Rascona in here running the board yesterday. He was taking his son to the game. This is one of those moments. And Pete has become one of those guys, obviously, from the fan base calling for him at the beginning of his career when he was down in Vegas and they didn't want to call him up at the end of that season in 18. Then he comes up and he's this just mammoth figure in 2019, his rookie season, 50 home runs, as clutch as you could be, arguably his best season as a Met that rookie season. And from that moment on, it became quite clear the connection that Pete built with this fan base, that Pete built with this team. They are his guy. And now, in the offseason, all the drama about the contract, going back and forth, the owner who was there last night, who put out a tweet last night, who chose to be at this game last night against the Atlanta Braves to see this history possibly take place, and ultimately it did. But all the comment, him getting booed at Met Day and everything, about bringing back Pete, like all of this, this was a moment the fan base has been craving. This is a moment that the fan base has been talking about for at least the last year. The idea that the greatest power hitter in the franchise's history completed that last night, and it's still kind of up in the air about his future, as he's, you know, he's not under contract for next season. At least we don't think so. We all expect him to opt out. Like, last night was one of those moments where you get to celebrate yours. You get to celebrate a guy that you love, that you've been behind through the losing, through the winning, through the fun, through the sad times, through his home run derbies, like everything. Pete Alonso is the New York Mets in many ways, even though we think Lindor might end up being the captain. But, like, he's the guy. And watching him last night hit that home run, seeing the crowd reaction, watching them get pound the Braves, like, it was as good a night you could have for a New York Mets fan.
Yeah, Pete Alonso is like this younger generation's guy. He's the guy that they hope in years to come has his number 20 jersey retired up there and they get a Pete Alonso day. You know, you talked about Amazing Day and how the fans kind of demanded that they bring him back. And yeah, it seems so far in the past, right? The off season where he didn't have any offers, and there was talk about Vladdy Jr. being a Met, and even opening day with Vladdy Jr. coming to Queens and the fans applauding him and people thinking about, hey, you know, we can get that guy. That guy's off the table. Like you just said, Pete Alonso, that is their guy. That is the polar bear. That's the face of the franchise. And after the losing streak, after getting swept, coming home, the owner tweeting out that he's going to be there, that the team hadn't been playing good, but kind of, you know, rallying the troops, rallying the fan base, yeah, come out to Citi Field. Come see what happens tonight. Pete hit two home runs. Even the first ball he hit kind of gave you the feeling like, hey, he's locked in tonight. It's going to happen. I just think that for the Met fan last night, Alvarez, two home runs. His boy Nimmo bailing them out. You know, of course, they give you that little moment of, you know, panic where Frank the Tank, I'm sure, crashed out. Where even, you know, Evan Roberts is tweeting about it. The Met fans are tweeting about, like, you know, the Braves coming back. They give you that little bit of moment for the Boo Birds to come out in Citi Field to not believe. But then Brandon Nimmo hits the three-run shot, and then the Mets absolutely pour it on. And you wake up this morning feeling good, and you haven't been able to feel good. It's funny, too, because it's now the 12th. And we keep going back to June 13th.
Yeah.
So people could literally put this in a box of 2 months, 2 months, 2 months. Well, the next 2 months is the most important.
Yeah. No, and you said it. And last night, yeah, huge win. All the stuff that we'll get into that. We'll get into the bunt by Lindor, which I think is arguably the biggest play of the game,
yeah,
to get on base there with two outs, followed by the walk and the three-run shot. But last night was definitely a cleansing moment. right? The day off leading into it. Met fans all over the place. This is where they get hot. This is where they turn it on against the lousy Atlanta Braves team. They get the home run, and it just set this thing off. Now, you mentioned the owner being there. We talked about it. Like, and the future of Pete Alonso. And I look at it, and I've been skeptical. I have been. I've been skeptical about the future of Pete Alonso with the New York Mets. I felt that way last year. He had that down season where it really was, the numbers weren't awful, but he was very unimpactful. Like, he didn't have that typical Pete season. He didn't, like, in the clutch, he was terrible up until he hits the home run against Devin Williams. And he has the good playoff run with the playoff pumpkin and all that. And leading into the offseason, and it just felt like I wasn't sure. And I think there's a dynamic with the Mets right now between the two guys who are running this, the two faces of what the Mets are right now, the owner and Steve Cohen, and the general manager and president of baseball operations, David Stearns. And I still feel that I am curious how David Stearns feels about Pete Alonso as being a Met for the rest of his career. But you saw the owner there.
Yeah.
You saw the way this building reacts, and what other owner in sports has come in and tried to make more connection to the fan base? Like, he comes in and immediately it's like, we're changing things. We're putting a statue of Tom Seaver. We're bringing back Old Timers Day. We're bringing back the black jerseys. We're doing all this stuff because I am one of you. How in the world can this guy allow Pete Alonso not to be a Met? How does he not step in? Even I, who've been skeptical of the idea of a 30-year-old first baseman and how they treated last offseason and what David Stearns would like when building a team. He's literally in Japan scouting a first baseman, third baseman. We just got that story that he's out scouting a Murakami out in Japan, who is a first baseman, third baseman, even playing a little bit outfield now, but primarily a first baseman for his career. And, like, I just don't know how he feels, but watching the way this fan base has reacted to Pete and knowing Steve Cohen, like, even I, there's no way he allows this guy to be anywhere else, right? Like, he has to be a Met for his entire career.
You think that because of the money, right? You think, like, this guy can buy everybody. He just bought Juan Soto for $765 million. Honestly, with David Stearns right now, David Stearns looking at Frankie Montas, who we found out yesterday, he's going to the bullpen.
Yeah,
I'd be looking at David Stearns right now saying, you don't just have the right to call every single thing. Like, we're going to talk through this.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking through it, there's so much more to be seen. Let's see what Pete does the rest of the way. Let's see what this team does the rest of the way, because they're not good enough right now to even think about a world where Pete Alonso's not on the team, not in the lineup. And not just for his bat. He's played defense. He's had some shining defensive moments over the last couple of weeks as
Absolutely.
Well. The Mets are not good enough right now to even think about a life without Pete Alonso, to think about Munetaka Murakami, who a lot of Yankee fans have their eyes on. You know, I understand that Stearns is out there in Japan. I understand the timing, too. Like, hey, you're not there for 253 night. But I just see the rest of the season playing out where Pete, you know, in the beginning of the season was MVP.
Yeah.
If he continues to hit home runs, drive in runs, and carry this team, there's no way they can move on from him. And if you remember last year, he got back into the fans' good graces, obviously, with the homer off of Devin Williams
and
showing up in the postseason. So he's got to do that again in October to kind of lock himself in, I think.
Yeah, but that's my point. Does he? Like, does he have to do that? Did last night lock it? Does last night lock it?
Because the fans get loud.
I understand that, but look at how loud they were last night. Like, even if he's already had a great year. Like, his OPS is as high as it's been in his career almost. He's right around 900, right? Early on in the season, he was as big a reason for their success and building the best record in baseball up until the infamous day of June 13th. Like, and these moments and his ability to still hit home runs and what he's been, even if he is not the same player he was in the first couple months, even if he's, you know, he's even if he's what he was the last couple months, like, if Pete Alonso opts out, like, can you do this to the fan base? Can you take this guy away from this fan base that is so connected to him? And he's now the leading franchise, you know, the leader in the franchise in home runs. He's been their guy. Nobody loves it. Oozes out of him.
Yeah.
How much he loves being a Met. Even if the season isn't what we hope for or expect the rest of the way, I don't know if that even plays into it. It might be at the point where Pete Alonso is a Met for life and that decision's been made. Like, yeah. That's because I agree with you. If the decision is up in the air and David Stearns has a strong opinion on it and is allowed to voice an opinion on it to the owner, then I agree with you. It's up in the air. But Is it at the point, this owner in that game last night, sitting in the front row, watching that moment, watching the fan base reaction, knowing that we're talking about a guy who we could be chasing big-time numbers with down the stretch, knowing how much this fan base was dying for a statue of Tom Seaver? This is their guy. Has that decision already been made?
I mean, speaking of Seaver, they got over losing Seaver. They got over DeGrom. Yeah. They got over Zach Wheeler.
They got over Darryl Strawberry.
It has to be a sell of, like, you know, what's next? They have to have another option next. It has to be something that David Stearns can sell them on a future. Because the future we're currently in with the Met fan didn't know that this future would exist with Juan Soto and some of these other high-priced players. That's the only way they potentially get over it. But what I'm saying with we got to see what happens, it's what have you done for me lately? It's very much of like the fans are loud right now, of course, because selfishly a lot of them went to that game, wanted that moment, saw it live, have it in their phones, and that's right now. But if Pete is terrible in the postseason or the rest of the way, they'll sour on him and they'll say, well, we kind of understand what you're saying. He's an aging first baseman, his body type. Oh, yeah, we could allocate funds elsewhere. We need pitching. Maybe we go spend there. I know they don't spend there, but maybe they do if they're well, trying to get the fan base to understand that we're moving away from Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I don't think there's a world where any Met fan would be okay with Pete. I don't care what happens from this point on. I don't think there's a world with where you could get most. Like, listen, there's always the outliers, and a portion of the fan base hates everyone. Like, there's somebody who hates everybody. But I would think that at this point, like, to me, it's either up to the GM and he's not here, or the owner's already made the decision. Like, yeah. I don't think his play.
But nine months ago, that world did exist because they were talking about Vladdy. They were talking about Vientos can play first base.
Yeah, I don't know. Not after last night, and not after all the flip flops going around. Not after all the, as I'm watching the highlights. Not after so many home runs that they ran out of fireworks.
Obviously, a rough one last night. Starting pitching, this is untenable. I'm going to present something, and you could tell me if you would like to punt for a little later, or you would like to tackle now.
Okay.
Pete Alonso, what was written on the baseball? You tell me. I almost think I don't want to shortchange it.
Well, I think we could do it now.
All right, well, then go ahead.
You did text me about it last night.
Yes.
That's the first I saw of it. And by the way, after yesterday's debacle with the Odell Beckham Jr. stuff, like, I don't know what
the AI?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is it AI? Is it not? I mean, did Mad Dog really go nuts, rip Gary Cohen, or was that AI? It had to be AI. Mm-hmm. Well, did Alonso really write that on the ball, or did somebody make it up? Like, you really actually don't know.
True.
I did not have a big issue with it when I saw it from you, and my first thought was that somebody must have told him, you know, like these authenticators or whatever, like Fanatics, whoever's doing this stuff, probably says, hey, can you write Home Run King and maybe something to Straw, like Down Goes Straw? And make it like more, I don't know, more appealing to, who the hell knows? I don't know. Where's the ball going? Did you see where it's going at
all? Well, it's got the authentic, it's authentic, whatever the hell word I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So is it a Fanatics? I heard it was maybe Fanatics, but I don't know for sure.
But it's going to the Mets Hall of Fame? Is it going to the Hall of Fame?
It should go into the Mets Hall of Fame.
Is it going to Pete's personal closet? Is it going up for sale?
I mean, if they sell that ball, I mean, if Pete sells that ball, Pete, come on.
Yeah,
there's no way you sell that baseball.
I don't think that he would. But okay, so whatever. But Down Goes Straw. Well, so when I first, you were,
what the hell are we doing?
You were a little more upset with it than I was.
I was. Now, I don't think it was mean-spirited because I don't think that Pete's that guy. And now first I wanted to make sure, you're right, is it AI, is it real? I'm going to assume that it's real. All right, I'm going to make that assumption here, Sal. And I'm like, all right, well, all right, I see his signature. Did he write Down Goes Straw? And it seems like he wrote everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I believe it's his penmanship.
Yeah, nobody outside of him should be writing on that ball.
Correct. Yeah. And if somebody's sitting there saying, hey, Pete, why don't you write this down? Well, then Pete's got to have a better filter. And again, I don't think there was an ounce of malice here. I'm not trying to make this bigger than it is. But talk about being obtuse. Down Goes Straw.
Well, it did have an exclamation point.
Right? It did, for sure.
So it's like when I see the exclamation point, that kind of takes the harshness for me, away from it.
Why? Well, hold on. If somebody texts,
Down Goes Straw. Like, you know, it's kind of
that would be a question mark. The intonation, Down Goes Straw.
Yeah,
like it's a question.
Yeah, Down Goes Straw.
Down Goes Straw is the exclamation. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If I text you, bleep you with an exclamation point.
Doesn't that
pop a little bit more if there's no exclamation?
No, I take that lighter than I would if you just texted me bleep you.
Really?
Yeah, Hoff, if we texted you bleep you exclamation point versus bleep you, period, which one you think is harsher?
I think the explanation point.
Of course.
Oh, no, I'm the opposite. Scones, what do you think here? I can't be the only one of the...
Well, it depends on, like, what the previous context is. What are you guys talking about?
Oh,
you
know wait,
what
I mean? No context whatsoever. You just get a text from me, and it says, bleep you.
No, I think the period is stronger. Yes.
Then the exclamation point.
Yeah.
So if I text you, bleep you, period.
Because almost like exclamation point could be jovial, yeah. I feel like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You there agree you with him?
I do.
Get the heck out of here. Yeah, come
it takes
on,
a lot
Scones.
For me to do that, but yes, I do.
Yeah. Same here. No, so what, there's more true. Finality to the period? Like, I'm not even going to continue the cop. Bleep you,
it's
period.
It's done. More stern.
It's more serious, right? So that's what I was saying. Yeah. So with the exclamation point, like, in my mind, he didn't draw a smiley face on it. Oh, well, why stop there? Did he draw a little polar bear and an iceberg as well on there? Down goes
straw. No, but he's got his own iceberg.
A strawberry and iceberg. Yeah. The exclamation point is almost like a smiley face to me. Like,
okay. All right, wait. So we're getting off the map here. Okay. So you don't think it's a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal, but I do think that it is disrespectful to Straw.
Okay, well, if it's disrespectful to Straw, why is it not a big deal?
Because
that's my entire point.
I'm sure Straw doesn't care about it. I don't think it was meant with any malice,
like
you said.
I don't think so either, but you just got... And isn't that... I don't want to say the problem with Pete, but... Isn't that part of... Again, he's obtuse, which is sometimes good, but down goes Straw.
He's having fun with
remember
it.
Remember when Jeter had... remember when Jeter passed DiMaggio for most hits by a righty? As he was going towards 3,000. Remember that? Imagine if he was like, down goes DiMaggio.
Yeah, I know. I know. That would be rough. What if we, on the scorecard on Thursday, somehow, like, you beat Mike?
I saw that Mike shot an 82. I'm not beating Mike.
I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
I did some research, dude. Yeah. I was looking at the swing. I wanted.
He's good, man.
Yeah, no. The ball, it's not the prettiest swing, but it's got a little pop off the face. It's straight. You're right.
Yeah.
I saw
people
an 82.
People think I'm kidding because I'm an ass kisser. No, yeah. I am an ass kisser, yes. But he hits the ball well.
Now, is there any fudging? Is there a mulligan? If he's 4 feet away from the cup, does he pick it up? Does he? I need to see this with my own eyes.
I think he'll take down Boomer.
The hell out of here. Boomer will destroy him. Come on, man.
Anyway, so the point is, if you beat Mike and you write on the scorecard after, like, we take a picture for social media, and you write, down goes Mike, exclamation point, I think that's, like, a fun thing.
I also, that is fun because Mike's next to me.
Now, I wouldn't do it.
Well, of course you would. But because Mike, for that day, and really based on our careers, like, you know, I mean, obviously very different, but Mike is an industry peer, and I'm playing with him that day.
All right.
Straw's... He's not a teammate.
Same thing, industry peer.
But he's not on the same field with Alonso. I'm on the same course with Mike. And by the way, I'm not going to beat Mike, so stop putting that out there.
Because
those buffoons of the morning will twist it and say that I'm said that I'm going to shoot a 75.
What if it were Boomer? What if it were Boomer and you took him down? I mean,
Boomer's my guy that I can never say anything disparaging about Boomer.
And me, I'd be like, down goes Boomer, period, exclamation point,
And then what do they the synapse? What are those three dots? What's the, what do you call that? Not the synapse. Apps, that's in the mind.
Semicolon?
Come on, dude. Semicolon. Okay. What are the three dots? Jeez, everybody.
Oh, parentheses, you're thinking.
Oh, God, I forget it. Jesus. Okay. Oh. You're more help than that, whoever told Pete to write that on the ball.
Pete itself.
Not a big deal.
I like to see what Straw
says.
Not
a good look.
You think Straw's like,
I think Straw's too classy. He's not gonna jump into this.
See, now, if I were a collector, and I am in certain regards, like if I were a big collector, maybe I'd have Straw write something on a ball next time.
Yeah, bleep you.
Yeah. No, well, congrats, polar bear, .. Lucky I decided to go to L.A. for more money.
Or you want to really drop the mic, .. I got a ring.
Yeah, 86 World Series.
Uh-huh.
Good one. BT and Sal.
Or Keith was 10 times better.
888-808-1019, the number to call. Linda calling from Forest Hills. What's up, Linda?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Hello, Linda.
Okay, guys. Please indulge me for a little bit here. It doesn't take an Ivy League degree to know that after signing a Juan Soto, who, by Mets fan standards, hasn't had the season that we've all expected, which is another point altogether. But in terms of the pitching, when you sign a guy like that, it doesn't take an Ivy League degree to know that when you follow that signing up with the likes of Griffin Canning, Frankie Montas, who nobody wanted, and turning Clay Holmes into a starter after all these years. It doesn't take an Ivy League degree to know that the bullpen was going to be taxed, which is what I said in the offseason. That was one of my concerns, okay? So, to me, this is on David Stern. Yes, it's on the players to go out and perform, but coming off a season like last season where you were two games shy of the World Series, you would, and you sign a Juan Soto, you expect, as a fan, to be like, okay, wow, we just came off two games shy of the World Series. We signed Juan Soto. What's next? And when you follow that question up with the likes that I just mentioned, that doesn't inspire confidence. Okay.
Here's the one thing that I would say, though, Linda, and thank you for the call. I'm with you that Stern should get the blame here for this rotation. He got the accolades when the rotation was pitching well. Mm-hmm. He's going to get the blame now when it's falling apart. If you had to pick the biggest culprits as to why this has gone on for 2 months, what would you say that it is? I have my answer. Curious to get yours. As far as the starting rotation.
Understood. To be fair, I would probably have to start with injury.
Yeah.
Because if Manaea started the season healthy and Senga didn't get banged up, I don't think that it would seem quite as dire.
But those are the two guys who, to me, are the biggest reasons why this has happened. Now, you could say injury, sure, but Senga was healthy before. He was good, came back. He's not the same. Is it the injury? I don't know about that it's the injury. Maybe it's something else with him. But that my point is that Stearns could get the blame. Senga is not necessarily Stearns' fault. He didn't, A, bring him here.
No, and, he didn't.
And B, if he Senga didn't. Doesn't get the job done, like, Montas, yes, we all knew he was going to fall apart and wasn't going to be any good. Clay Holmes, we all could anticipate that at some point, and by the way, Clay Holmes was great the first half of the year, so Stearns gets credit for that, and now he's falling, you know, he's gotten a little tired during the second half. He's got to take a hit for that, but you could move Holmes to the bullpen and bring up one of the young guys, which maybe he's going to do that, obviously replacing Montas with one young guy so far. My thing is, you can't get on Stearns from Manaea and Senga, who consensus had both those two guys. Whether I thought Manaea was going to be as good as he was at his peak last year or not doesn't matter. At the very least, you expected him to be a top-of-the-rotation horse, even when he came back from the injury, and he's been, he hasn't been good. I was going to say he's been awful, but he just hasn't been good. He's been good for a few innings, and then he falls apart. So can you put the blame on Stearns for Senga and Manaea?
Oh, no. No, you can't do that. No.
Or Peterson last night.
No, of course not. I mean, that's ridiculous. So I'm with you there. I don't think Stearns had a good offseason. You know, the Montas, not just 1 year, gave him 2 years guaranteed. Canning was an interesting reclamation project who was showing signs. And then, by the way, before he ruptures Achilles, he was going in the wrong direction. Let's not forget
but
that.
He was
so,
good.
You know, he was good early. I know. And Minter had an injury history. Yeah. Now he's obviously very good, but you rolled the dice there. That bit you. Hey, bottom line for me is this here, right? Pertaining just to the off-season moves. The biggest one, and maybe this is unfair, but I don't think it is, though. The biggest one I give Stearns zero credit for. Soto was Cohen.
Right.
Period. And then the other moves, nothing's really worked out.
Well, but you can't say nothing's worked. Like, they got more out of Griffin Canning than I think anybody thought. Even with the injury, even with him starting to go the other way. Griffin Canning was a big part of why the Mets had the early season success, which is a big part of why they're still in a postseason spot, even with the last 2.5 months. Clay Holmes was terrific the first half of the season. I'm trying to think of what else we got here.
Well, the Montas stuff.
Yeah, well, Montas obviously bad. I mean, as it pertains
Minter.
To the rotation. You know, he also just loaded up with the bullpen at the trade deadline. Like, he gets a lot of credit.
No, that's why I said before the season.
Okay.
No, I like what he did at the trade deadline. You just got to be able to get to those guys.
Yeah.
He had a good trade deadline, no doubt.
Jose Siri was another failed one.
Yes. He's been hurt. Forgot about it. He hasn't played at all.
I'm just trying to think of some of the other moves that they made in the offseason real quick here. Yeah,
Iglesias go. I know he's not having a good season, Iglesias, but that's a lot of chemistry the Mets had last year.
They bring Alonso back. Yeah, I mean.
I did not have a good offseason.
Yeah, I don't think that, again, not over, but I would not grade his offseason based on the results of the actual season a favorable grade.
Okay, and there's a month to go, so that could change, but right now, middle of August, again, not the deadline stuff, preseason
remember,
stuff.
Still year two.
I get that, but I'm saying for year two, his preseason moves, I give him a D.
Yeah.
Maybe an F.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd honestly go there, but probably C- something like that. See, I have to go over all of them again. And again, injury's a big part of it.
Montas, we gave an F then and now. Like, we all knew that one. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll continue with your calls. We'll work the Yanks into the conversation as well. Got a lot to do today, too. I want to revisit the over-unders, BT. I think it'd be a good time to take a look. I forget what they even are.
Oh, I got it.
I don't think it's going to be good for either of us, but I could be wrong.
Speak for yourself, buddy.
Okay.
Somebody's doing all right, you know, and it ain't you.
No wonder why you wanted to bring that back up.
Yeah.
Well, you had Holmes. I think you had Holmes ERA.
Yeah, no, I didn't have Holmes as ERA.
You didn't have Holmes ERA?
No.
You sure about that?
I'm positive.
All right. We'll have to revisit those over-unders, I think. I want to play. We'll do some cards. We haven't done a card game in a while.
Let's rip some packs today. Yeah. I'm down with
and
it.
And then we can power up later on as well.
Love
so plenty to do here. Just getting started. 888-808-1019.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.